Welcome to season 3 of the Joycast. I'm Margaret Feinberg, your host, and this is going to be our best season yet. I want to start out by just being honest and vulnerable with you. Some time ago, I woke up exhausted and run down. It had been a long, hard, intense season of life and leadership and ministry. My emotional and spiritual reserves had bottomed out. Somewhere along the way, a voice had slithered in and whispered blood-curdling thoughts into my mind. You have nothing more to give. You're a failure. Things are never going to change. You should just give up. I began to sink deeper into these mind-numbing thoughts that just kind of left me paralyzed. My chest tightened as I struggled to get oxygen into my lungs. Even simple activities felt like drudgery. Maybe that kind of discouragement is foreign to you. It was to me, too. But what I began to discover is though I was taking medication and seeking out spiritual wisdom and even talking to counselors, none of the spiritual practices that I had done in the past seemed to lift the heavy weight from my soul. I remember one day, my friend Chris, who had been watching my life and journeyed with us for many, many years, looked at me and he said, I've never seen you in this place before. And then he spoke words over me that changed the course of my life. Margaret, I don't know when and where it happened, but somewhere along the way, you've made agreements with the universe that are not true. At first, I thought, Chris, agreements with the universe? I mean, friend, that sounds a little woo-woo. As I began to reflect on his comments, I began to recognize that his syllables were steeped in truth. I began thinking, what agreements have I been making? Maybe not with the universe, but the agreements that I've been making that just aren't true. And though I'd never said the actual words aloud, I'd been agreeing with dark thoughts, dark ruminations in my mind. When shadowy thoughts of you're a failure, things are never going to change began to enter in, I allowed them to brood like storm clouds. I allowed my mind to incessantly rehearse all my faults and failures again and again. And I feel like some of you listening right now, you know what that's like. In this COVID season, it has been so easy to replay our mistakes and our misgivings and our short-sightedness and our lack of, rather than other things. What happened for me is I soon began transitioning from acknowledging these thoughts to coming into agreement with them, coming into agreement with the idea that I was a failure, that there was nothing more that I could do, that nothing was ever going to change. And once I made the agreements, more and more negativity seemed to flood in. Because it wasn't just that I was making agreements with the universe that weren't true. It was that I was making agreements with the accuser. The Hebrew Bible describes the enemy of God, also known as Hasatan in Hebrew or Satan, as an accuser. And he's a master shame bearer committed to snuffing out life, stealing hope, and sabotaging faith. One of his most effective tools is convincing us to believe that which simply isn't true. Because once we make agreements with his lies, he knows these will lead to self-isolation and self-condemnation. Well, grateful for my friend's truth-telling, I spent the next few days just praying and going before God and saying, God, what agreements have I made that aren't true? Agreements that aren't true with what you say, what you declare, what comes through the scripture, what you are and who you are in my life. And then I just began asking God to forgive me. Forgive me for the agreements that I've been making with the accuser. And what I realized is that though I ached for this kind of change and this deep freedom, saying no to the falsities and the lies wasn't enough. There was a second crucial step. You see, I needed to replace those lies with God-given truths that began reorienting me to all that was good and true and beautiful. So what I did is just a very simple practice. I developed a list of daily declarations deeply rooted in scripture. I just began saying them aloud each day. Declarations like Jesus is king of my life. I am who Christ says I am. I take every thought captive. I break every agreement that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And I ended each day's statements with a bold declaration, I am on God's offensive team today, because I had been spending too many days of my life playing defensive. And I think that is something that we all need right now, to rise up, to stop playing defensive and begin playing offensive in the kingdom of God. Within just a few days, my husband Leif said, you know what? There is something radically different about you. You are lighter and freer than I've seen in months. A kind of spiritual renewal had begun springing up in me as I began thinking about what I was thinking about. When those dark thoughts tried to intrude, I would respond on the offensive, and I began speaking out declarations of the truth of God's word, and that darkness began scuttling away. The more I refused to agree with the voice of accusation, the more life-giving freedom flooded my mind. You know what, friends? I want you to experience the same spiritual breakthrough and renewal. And that is why I am so excited to announce the release of More Power to You, Break Free from Fear, and Take Your Life Back. In this powerful devotional, you'll discover 52 readings that uncover the lies that we're tempted to believe and the truth of who we're created to be. Lies like, I'd be happy if only, fill in the blank. I'm not enough, or I'm too much. Well, this is just how it is. Or that lie, it's only a matter of time until the other shoe drops. You see, through this powerful devotional, each lie is exposed and then countered with the incredible truth of who you are and all you're intended to be. At both the front and the back of this devotional, you will find this list of daily powerful declarations deeply rooted in Scripture. And these declarations, man, they are powerful. They have been carrying me through this season of COVID. And to be honest, I have them all over my house. They are tucked into my Bible, on my bathroom mirror, even above the toilet paper roll. And my husband, Leif, has a list that he says every day too. So if you haven't already, go ahead, jump online, go to your favorite retailer, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Christian Book, or even better, go find your local retailer and support them. Grab a copy for you and a friend, and then go to morepowertoyoubook.com and claim your free gifts worth over $57, including a fabulous book club kit, free coloring pages, a gorgeous printable of the declarations, audio of me declaring these statements over you, and much more. And so as we kick off season 3 of the Joycast, I cannot believe, I'm so excited, that I get to introduce you to my friend Cheryl Luke, who is honestly, friend, she is a spiritual powerhouse. This is a voice you must listen to. One of the first places I got to know her in depth was backstage at the IF Gathering. I had the privilege of being on several panels with her at IF, if you've watched over the last few years, and she is just this gentle, spiritual giant. The wisdom, the grace, the strength. Well, you're going to hear all of that and more as we expose one of the deepest lies I think we're all tempted to believe. You are not enough. Those four words compromise what is one of the enemy's cruelest and most destructive lies. Maybe you carry an unspoken sense that you are not enough for your spouse or your children, that you are not enough for your parents, that you are not enough of a leader or a teacher or a coach or an employee, that you are not enough for God. Well, today is the day to break free from that lie and discover that through the power of Christ on the cross and the Holy Spirit, there is more power to you to walk in greater freedom than you ever have before. So grab your book kit at morepowertoyoubook.com. And let's dive in to this rich, crucial conversation. Cheryl Luke, it is such a delight and privilege to have you on the Joycast.
Thank you so much. I'm honored to be here.
Now, I think our paths first crossed at IF Gathering.
It did. Actually, my path crossed yours years before IF Gathering through a book you wrote. And when I saw you sitting there at IF, I almost fainted.
What was the book?
It was several years ago about wonderless.
Oh, Wonderstruck. Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Oh.
Wonderstruck.
Well, you are a person who no one encounters without feeling like there is this beautiful weight and strength and grace that you radiate like no other human I've ever met. And I've talked to the other IF girls and we all agree. I mean, there is just like we're around you. And when it talks about deep calls to deep, you are that deep. It emanates out of you. You carry yourself with this beauty and strength. Can you give our listeners just a short kind of background about where you grew up and kind of your entry into ministry? And
yeah, I am from El Paso, Texas, and grew up in a home raised by a single woman. Prior to my parents' divorce, we had what I thought was the perfect family. And when my parents split, my world was devastated. And I went from feeling like I owned the entire world to feeling like I, and this was at very early age, 6, 7, 8, feeling like I, you know, didn't belong. I wasn't good enough because the man that was my world was no longer in my world. And the beautiful thing that I believe God did for us was place my mother in ministry. And she was the one who everybody wanted to be their mother. She was the one that everyone came to for prayer or counsel. And so I got a front row seat at what true ministry looks like. And also she was not healthy physically, so was unable to work. And so there were days when we didn't have basic needs met. And I literally, Margaret, saw the hand of the Lord provide for my family in a way that is undeniable. So both ministry and provision have been really, really big for me. I live in Austin, Texas, and I've been here for about 30 years. And I work at a church called Shoreline and have been there on staff for 16. And have had the privilege of serving alongside you and other amazing women through the IF Gathering. And then I'm the cultural communities director at national director with Celebrate Recovery, which for me is an amazing post because I have the privilege of making sure that people of color understand that recovery is something that is there for them.
And you have an amazing podcast.
I do. I have a podcast called The Mosaic Life, and I just finished my first season, and it was an adventure to say the least. And I've had the opportunity to share some amazing stories with people that I know really well and a few new friends.
And for those of you who are listening, you have got to go check out the Mosaic podcast. It is stunning. And will you share with our listeners a little bit of the story behind the name Mosaic? Because I heard it and I just loved
it. So I feel like we all have a story to tell and our lives are made up of both the beautiful and the broken. And when we look at ourselves as a collective, if we look at humanity as a collective, we are all broken in some way or another. But together, we create this beautiful story that that looks just like heaven, I would say. And we all have something to offer that looks like Christ through our brokenness, through our humanness.
Mm, so good. So good. Well, in this season, we're looking at some of the lies that we believe. And I think all of us, if we're honest, realize that we have either illusions or beliefs that we cling on to that are self-sabotaging. And I know when we were talking earlier, you mentioned that one of them that you have wrestled with is the question, am I enough? Will you share kind of when did that kind of start to show up in your life? I think so often the false beliefs that we embrace often happen at childhood, although they can happen at any age and can be kind of fortified through various life experiences at all ages and stages. So when did not being enough kind of enter into your life?
I think there are two incidences, events in my life that I can pinpoint. And the very first one goes back to when my parents divorced, and I'm sitting in a room with my mother and my father and my siblings, and my father comes home from work and tells us that he's no longer going to be a part of our family, living with us. And he would be available, but he just was no longer going to be a part of our family. Now, from what I remember, our house was the house to hang at. My father made skateboards for everybody in the neighborhood. If our family was going camping or swimming, anybody that could fit in our car was invited to come. At Halloween, our house was the house to come to when, if they wanted to be scared to death. You know, we played games on Friday night outside when we used to play outside back in the day. Our house was the house to congregate. So it felt like our situation was perfect. Our family situation was perfect. And so when he walked through the house that day and I saw a look in his eyes that I hadn't ever recognized, and as I was sitting on his lap and he was explaining to us as a family that he would be leaving, I thought it was my fault. And I spent years thinking, what did I do to make the man of my dreams, my everything, walk away from our family? Like, what part did I play in that? And it really has taken, it took several years for me to understand that that wasn't mine to own. I was too young. And then the second thing that happened to me was at the age of 27, I was raped and decided to marry the man that raped me because we were dating. And I had every opportunity to walk away from that situation. I didn't share the story with anyone for years. And in that moment, when my body was being abused, I just thought, why is this happening? I really am not good enough. If I was good enough, this wouldn't be happening to me. And so I owned that lie in that moment, again, for several years. But the beautiful thing about it is I know that that's not truth. And I have the ability to choose to believe the truth. Although there are times and days and situations that I find myself thinking, am I good enough? And I have to deal with that lie. On an ongoing basis. It seems to be the thing that has followed me most of my life.
Where do you discover that truth in that? I mean, there are these incredible places of pain and tragedy and loss. And you describe several years later, in both cases, you realize that was not true. What helped alert you to the truth? What helped break you free from that kind of thinking?
Understanding that the word of God is true. Going back to the very beginning in Genesis, where it says that I was created in his image and that there's something in me that nobody else possesses that looks just like my maker, that gives me license to be everything that he created me to be. Now, the thing that I have to deal with are my thoughts, because those thoughts come in. And if I am unable to, capture that negative thought, it becomes in some ways a part of my behavior, which causes me to withdraw. And I'm not shy by nature. I don't like to stand away by nature. I like to be in the thick of things. But so often when I walk in a room, I have to talk to myself and say, girl, get on in there. Just get in there. Because you belong and you're good enough. And for some reason, this is the thing that has troubled me my entire life.
What does it look like for you in the midst of kind of this, you know, this battle with the thought life, the battle with the negative spirals, the self-sabotaging thoughts? What, when you identify, because there's a moment, like you do have to identify the thought and be like, wait a second, this is swimming in my brain and I need to shut this down. What do you say to yourself, to God, to other people in that moment?
I speak truth to myself number one, I say to myself, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I say to myself, these people love you. They want you here. I say to myself, and sometimes out loud, I rebuke you, Satan, in Jesus' name. And I say out loud sometimes, get in there and sit down and have conversations with these people. Because, you know, because that spiral, for me, I don't know about other people, but I can talk myself into a place where I believe in 2 seconds. I can talk myself into a place where I believe I don't belong. However, in those same 2 seconds, I can capture that thought and offset that lie with truth, with the word of God, and recover. And it's a choice. I have to choose because Margaret, I know the truth. I know the truth. I have to choose the truth over the lie. And I have that power.
And we all do.
We all do.
There's an element that you said that I think is so crucial. I talk about this in More Power to You using these daily declarations, these power declarations.
Yes.
And some people read through a list of, you know, scripture or declarations about who we are in Christ, but there is something that happens when we say it out loud.
Absolutely.
It's almost as if we say it in confession to the truth of God in a spirit. We say it as a defiant move against the enemy, the father of lies, and then we're also saying it to ourselves. And so we may think, oh, well, I can just quietly read through a list, or I can read the scripture. No, when you declare it out loud, it is like the darkness takes 6 feet back.
Exactly. Exactly. That's so good.
You know, you were talking about Genesis and where, you know, we discover that beauty of how we're made in the image of God. And I think it's so interesting that, you know, that the enemy comes in, described as the serpent, and he argues, you know, that God is actually holding back the juicy fruit from humanity. And it's kind of this lie that says, you know, the only way that you can be enough is if you eat the fruit. And so in some ways, that original lie from the enemy was you are not enough. Just as you are, just as God has made you with all the abundance, all the fruitfulness, all of the cool in the end of the day, walking with God, without this, you are not enough.
It's the lie that's been spoken since the beginning of time. Since the beginning of time.
I know in my own life, I have wrestled with not enoughness, you know, that's caused at times drivenness, great fear. I remember in high school, I actually developed an ulcer. I was so afraid that if I didn't work hard enough at everything, that I wouldn't meet expectations. I wouldn't apply to the right colleges. I wouldn't pick the right career path. I wouldn't achieve popularity. I wouldn't win the approval of my teachers and my parents. And I actually started bleeding on the inside. And so sometimes I think we look at this and we identify, well, that is a lie. But we don't realize that when that lie sets up camp inside of us, it literally can cause us to bleed from the inside out.
That's so good. What did you do to get on the other side of that?
Yeah, I think I had to realize, you know, that lie, I think in scripture, you know, it wasn't just in Genesis where the enemy, you know, whispered it. I mean, even when Jesus is in the garden or in the wilderness, you know, it was kind of the sense of, Jesus, you're still not enough. I mean, throw yourself down, turn the stones into bread, you know, demanding that he do more and more to prove himself and suggest that he's not enough, and recognizing that if Jesus could overcome that in the wilderness by saying, it is written, grounding himself in the truth of God's word, that I can too. and to cling to those promises that right. say, you know, you are holy, you are chosen, you are an adopted child, you are an heir, you are redeemed, you are forgiven, you are the gift of God, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and God claims you as his own. And when I say that out loud, just like you, there is something that says, wait a second, who was saying something about not enough? Oh, honey, I am more than enough. I am more
That's
than a
exactly
conqueror.
Right.
In the truth of Christ and who he has called and created us to be.
I think too, that talking about the power of saying it out loud, I think it stops that spiral in its track. And one of the things I do, if I find myself where I'm in a season of feeling not enoughness, I will intentionally get up in the morning and I'll journal and go through my scriptures. I'll go through affirmations and saying it out loud for me sets in motion my day. And as things happen and as my mind tends to wander, I somehow, because I took that time to take care of my day before it happened, if you will, for some reason, my day ends up going a lot better than it would have had I not taken that time to intentionally set in motion my mindset.
That's fascinating that writing it down is also, because first of all, it's the focus of the brain. So you're disrupting the negative thought spirals. You're breaking the pattern of the lie. But there's also something that this is a physical act of a spiritual reality. In other words, you are embodying it. And that it, just like saying it out loud, it is that process of not just allowing, okay, well, that's the truth. It's not a passive, it's an active embrace. You are etching into history the truth of who you are.
Sometimes if I'm not doing well, I'll write it. And saying it out loud for me engages my hearing sense. Writing it down engages sight and touch. And so engaging my senses in the moments when I'm either preparing for the day or in a negative spiral, if you will, seems to knock it out of the park as well.
At CherylLuke.com, you have some incredible blog posts and resources, but I love what you wrote here. You wrote, many times we have witnessed or experienced repetitive cycles, such as fear or like what we're talking about, like not being enough. And why on earth would I or anyone else keep going back to that same old? And you write, studies show the primary reason people return to the familiar is because even if this isn't the best thing for us, it's familiar. Like my favorite chair covered in animal print with lush throw, or that red blanket I received as a high school graduation present years ago. It's a hot mess now, but I still have it. It's so doggone familiar. We'd rather not move regardless of the outcome.
And we have to move, Margaret. We have to move. And here's the deal. Each of us has a call in our lives to lead, to share the gospel, to do something to further the kingdom. And so if I continually find myself in that chair with that blanket, which is in my closet, by the way, I'm unable to do that thing that number one gives me life, and number two that puts me in the game that has eternal perspective. Why would I not get out of the chair? And here's the deal: those triggers that I feel, those spirals, they may not change, they may not stop, but how I respond to them changes if I'm intentional about getting out of the chair. If I can just put that blanket down. And maybe just get up one day. Maybe that's all I can do is get out of the chair. That's progress. Maybe the next day I get up and put the blanket away. That's progress. I don't know that, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe you can speak to this, but I don't know that sense of, or the thought that I don't belong or that I'm not good enough, I don't know that will ever go away, that the thought will ever go away. What my response to it, and how I react to it, whether I ignore it or its effect on me, can change, and has.
Yeah, I'm not sure the temptation to embrace false belief will ever go away as long as there is a father of lies. I agree with you. To say I'll never have that thought again. You know, it's kind of like, I'm not going to think of a white elephant. You know, I mean, just,
it will exactly. find you. It will find you.
Exactly. But our response to it.
Yes.
Can change.
The other thing I heard you saying in that is that we have got to celebrate our small wins. And especially, you know, if you picture like just a bunch of flies flying around and it's, you know, you get a swatter and you start thinning them out. And so you want all of them gone. But when there's 10 less, that's a win. When there's 22 less, there's a win. When there's 23 less, that's a win.
That's so good.
And to keep on swatting, to keep on saying, no, I will not allow this to be ingrained in me anymore. You know, I think it was it Martin Luther who once said, you know, a bird may fly by, but it's, you know, you do not have to allow it to set up a nest in your head.
Exactly. And how powerful is the beauty of accountability? If I have this thought or if I have this behavior, how beautiful is it that I can share it with my sister or somebody that I trust and say, you know what, I'm struggling with not feeling like I'm good enough. Would you mind just kind of asking me how I'm doing with that? And maybe we can talk about it, because it releases you from having to deal with it and work on it on your own.
And it's the two or more gathered together.
It is.
I mean, when we start taking this on together in groups, in small groups, in friendship circles, in Zoom gather, I mean, it becomes powerful. And that we start not just discovering freedom and liberty for ourselves, but being people who speak life and help set others free.
I think it's easy to sit in, I'll speak for myself. It's easy for me to sit in my pain or in that lie without exposing it and try. The thing I say to myself is, I'll fix it. But if I bring somebody in that with me, Christ for sure, but if I can bring someone in that with me and have them walk this painful road with me, it makes it easier, number one. But I'm not by myself in it. I'm not alone.
Absolutely. Now, one of the resources that you offer at your site is the Relate Connection Style Assessment and Journaling Process. Can you just share that? Because I think it sounds like an incredible resource for our listeners.
I can. So this is really the resource that helped me get on the other side of my challenges, my pain. And it's a four-step process: review, reveal, regroup, and rewrite. And so it's a quick journaling process. If something happens, you know, say something happens and I feel like my day is ruined, I'm not good enough, I will sit down. My first question is, review what happened. I walked in a room and I just didn't feel like I fit in. The second R is reveal. You reveal how you thought or you felt in that moment. So what did I think? I thought I didn't belong. I'm feeling alone. And then the third R is regroup. What do I need in this moment to get my stuff together? Or what would calm my emotions in this situation? Maybe it's community. Maybe it's value. I write that word down. And then fourth is rewrite. What does the word of God say? So I take maybe value and I Google scriptures related to value or affirmations related to value. And I look up scriptures. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I write that scripture down, and that's where my focus is. I don't focus on the negative. I focus on the truth, what the word of God said. And so there's an assessment that's related to this process, and that assessment is tied to the third R, which is regroup. And you identify the connection style that you need in this moment. And that process has changed the way I think, which has changed the way I behave.
So good. So if you can't tell, Listeners, I am a huge fan of Cheryl Luke, and I cannot wait to continue to see how God continues to use her in powerful ways. The depth, the wisdom, the grace, the gentleness that you hear, that is who she is. And so I want to encourage you again, go to CherylLuke.com. Go check out the Mosaic podcast. You're going to fall in love with her as much as I have. Cheryl, thank you so much for being on the Joycast.
Thank you.